What voice of God must I obey? So when we talk about numbering our days means embracing God's purpose for my life today.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, November 23rd, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Counting Our Days, and our text comes to us from Psalms chapter 90, verse 12. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Psalms 90, that's the psalm that we will do this morning. We're going to read the whole psalm. It's just a few verses. It's not that long, and I think it would be appropriate for us to do that. And we will leave on time this morning. Do not be concerned. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, your God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by the evening it's dry and withered. Let's move on. Don't leave me there, please. That's awful. Thank you. We're consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years, everybody, 70 or 80, if our strength endures. How many are ready for the 80s? How many have passed the 80s? How many are in your hundreds? Okay, let's move on. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of your hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. One of the things that this psalm talks about is what we would call a reality of life, a checklist of life. But also, when you look at it carefully, the controlling text is verse 12, that simply says, Lord, I'll read it directly from my version. It says it in a very clear way. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. There are some awful things going on in the world today. Some of the things that are going on in our lives is because we have made mistakes and we have made errors. Other things have been inflicted on us. And sometimes when we look back at our lives, we see the issues that we could have been wiser about, that we could have taken a better decision. But this psalm, Psalms 90 and verse 12, talks about the art of living right, of living wisely in a world that is always in a rush. God invites us this morning not to live anxiously about time, but wisely within his presence. That in the midst of all the turmoil that we see, problems that we face, that we may take the time to simply say, Lord, help me to make sense out of life by living in your presence. It's known that this is the oldest Psalms in all of the book of the Psalms. It was written by Moses. It's the only one attributed to Moses. The Psalms were compiled after Moses' death, many years. But this psalm that Moses writes reflects the wilderness experience, the time when Israel was in the desert and had all kinds of issues. It talks about lament. It talks about theology. It talks about reflections that fits the life of Moses very carefully. Because, see, you and I are psalms in ourselves. Every day we write about ourselves. Every day something is written about you. You are writing your life story. People are looking at you and they're seeing how you live for God. And it speaks about the frustrations and the issues and the tanglements and the conflicts that exist. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that Moses telling us that we need to ask God to give us wisdom as to how we deploy every single day of our life. Moses is about 120 years old. That's a pretty good age. And he was reflecting on the things that were going on in Israel in the desert. A lifetime of watching a generation that rose, rebelled, wandered, and died in the desert. It speaks about the true nature of humanity, the difficult times that we as mortals face, regardless of our situation. At the time that Moses writes the psalm, God already told him he was not going to enter into the promised land. And he had buried an entire generation in the wilderness. He had seen the wrath of God. He had seen what God can do. See, God keeps his promises. We say his promises are good, but his promises are very clear too. If you do this, then I will bless you. If you do that, then you will not be blessed. God keeps his promises. He saw God's wrath, keeping his promises. He saw man's weaknesses. And he saw how life is so quickly disappears. Psalms 90 tells us how important it is for us to reflect and to think it through. So God's people and the experience of God's people, it leaves us to a very unique situation in that we need to see, number one, that we as human beings have a frailty. Verse 3 through 6 speaks about dust, speaks about sigh, the grass that withers. The reality of Moses, he witnessed more than 40 years of people dying and walking away, thinking they could get away with things, and yet life catches up with you, catches up with all of us. Human frailty, we're not here in this earth forever. The second thing we see in this psalm is that God is a holy God. And so you can do whatever you want to do, but you're going to be held accountable because this is his world and it's his rules and it's his universe. Someone said, I don't like it. Well, I don't know where you can go. You're kind of stuck here. So God has a way of living. And yet when we violate what he's known to us to be true, the rebelliousness comes and there's a judgment upon our lives. But then the Psalms also tells us that in reality, though Israel had no hope, no home, and no stability, Moses says God can be your dwelling place. And in our world today, in your world and in my way, we need to know that there is fragility in our lives, that we're not superwoman or superman, that we have our aches and pains. We also know that God is looking at you, giving us opportunities to live for him, and also a choice that we have that we don't live for him. And then thirdly, we find that though we think we're secure, the only place we're secure is when we dwell with the Lord. The people of Israel had no land, no home, no stability. So Moses says, only God can be your dwelling place. So the message for this morning is verse 10. I read it to you. I'll read it again. It says it this way. And it says it in a very clear way. It speaks directly to you and to me. Verse 10, actually. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Here is the key. Moses says to God's people, and speaks to you and to me, the cry of a human heart, teach us. The very word teach means something very important, because it's not just, shall we say, head knowledge. It speaks to the fact that there's some limitations. It speaks to the fact that there are things that we need to add to our knowledge base. It speaks to you that naturally we don't really know how to live, that we need help, and we need to be taught how to live. We need to know how to process the issues that come to our life. Moses confesses in this psalm in so many ways that you and I can live many years, but without having growing years, productive years. You and I can pass through time, but never understand what it means to live in time. And you and I can be full of activities, but empty of purpose. There is a process to live. There's a way to live. He says, Lord, I don't know how to live wisely. Teach me how to make the best of every day of my life. Actually, the first step for you and for me as we follow the Lord is to surrender our self-sufficiency. Jesus says that we need to follow him. It means that we need to learn from Jesus how to live our actual days. It is to submit to him and simply say, Lord, give me a vision for a new life. Show me how I should really live, how I should develop, how I should process the issues that come upon me. There needs to be intention. Lord, teach me. Teach me. Lord, give me a teachable spirit. How do I face the issues of life? And I do this, Lord, in the context of numbering my days. Every single day of my life, I need to come to you. Leads us to a second thought, which simply means numbering our days. Not a math issue, but a spiritual perspective. Spiritual perspective. The word for numbering our days means weighing, means evaluating, means discerning our days, not just merely counting them. I was seeing a movie the other day of this prisoner who was in jail, and the wall was marking every single day, you know, one, two, three, and then five. And, you know, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about recognizing our brevity of time. We're talking about understanding that we're not going to be here forever. In the psalm that we read, life is described as a dream. How many had a dream last night? I had two. I woke up twice. That's one is bad enough, and when you have two, it's bad enough. I had a dream, and you wake up and say, what did I dream? What was it? And you try to regain that the thoughts of that dream. Sometimes you want to forget them. It speaks about a blade of grass. I love grass. I love trees. I love plants. But they're short-lived. Today they're blooming, and tomorrow they'll be scorched. And they'll be no good, like a blade of grass. And it's like a sigh. Just a deep breath that comes and goes. This is not to depress you or depress me, but it's to awaken us to the fragility and the numbering of our days as crucial. When we forget that we're mortal, we also forget what really matters. Numbering our days means recognizing the brevity of our time, and it also means embracing God's purpose for today. You know that God has a purpose for your life? The moment that your purpose ceases, you enter into his presence. Each single day, regardless of where you are today, carries a divine assignment. There is something that you must do. And every sunrise carries a new invitation. Invitation to do what? Several things. For instance, who must I love today? Oh boy, here we go now. Just go back to the Hebrew, huh? Whom must I love today? It's a choice, you know. And that's, loving other people sometimes takes a lot of strength, but who must I love today? All right, let's put that aside. I'll give you another one. God's purpose for our life. Second one. What sin must I confess? Oh, he's getting too personal. No, by God's grace, I don't know your sin life, and I don't want to know anything about it. We have no confessional here. But what sin must I confess for the Lord to strengthen me and forgive me and move on with my life? Woo, another good one. I know you're so excited this Sunday morning. You're just loving living. What bitterness must I release? You know, bitterness will cut you from the blessings of God. So will unconfessed sin. But bitterness, sometimes we resent what people do. And you know, you're probably right. People do an awful mean things. But it's a poison in your system. You must get rid of that poison by simply saying to the Lord, Lord, help me not to be bitter. Sweeten my life with your presence. It's not easy to do that. But there are some of you who are stuck. You're bitter. Another one, which is this is easier. The last two were the hard ones. What sin must I confess and what bitterness must I release? What good must I do? One more. What voice of God must I obey? So when we talk about numbering our days means embracing God's purpose for my life today. Look, you can't do nothing about yesterday. Yesterday's gone. You can't recoup yesterday. I tried. How many have tried to recoup yesterday? I'm the only one? So all of you are smarter than me. Okay, that perfectly makes a lot of sense. But you tried to recoup yesterday. Yeah. But yesterday's gone. So I have today. So my question to you is, who must you love today? What sin must you confess? What bitterness must you release? What good must you do? What voice of God must I obey? You know, numbering our days and using that simple list clarifies what truly deserves our energy. Where do I want to invest my life? Do I still want to be upset with someone? Do I still want to carry a grudge? Look, I know what they did to you, whatever it was wrong and unfair. But isn't it true that life is full of unfairness? What are you going to do, carry that all your life? You know, the disciple says, burn them, Lord, burn them. And some of you Christians look like the burning class, you know. Burn them, Lord, burn them. And I felt that way many times. Lord, why don't you just... It's like that old lady who said, I love my husband. I don't want him to die. I just want him to go see Jesus, you know. It's sometimes we have that type of mentality. But listen. Let's grow up and let's put the Lord first. So numbering our days means embracing God's purpose for my life. It also means living before God and not before the clock. Culture says, seize the day because time is running out. But God says something a little bit different. He says, walk with me today because I am here. When you and I walk with the Lord, let me tell you, it's easier to love the people that we can't love or we don't want to love. When we're walking the Lord, it's easy to confess our sins before him and saying, Lord, I got this attitude. Lord, would you help me with this attitude? It's a sin that it just keeps coming at me. I just don't like people. Lord, would you work in my life? Especially in-laws, which we call outlaws. Lord, every time I see him or her, I get bitter. I can taste it. My taste buds change. I just. What good must I do today? Must I? I don't want to do anything good. I'm grumpy. I'm upset. What voice of God must I obey? See, God speaks to us and he talks about love, talks about confessing our sins. He talks about not having a bitter heart. He talks about doing things for good. He talks to us all the time. He speaks to your heart. That's how you number your days so that you're not necessarily trying to do what the world says, but what God says. So, seize the day because time is running out. Better yet, walk with the Lord because he's there. See, Paul says that in Ephesians 5. Be careful how you live. That's what Paul says. Be careful how you live. Making the most of the time because the days are evil. So it's not frantic productivity. A lot of people confuse activity with sainthood. If I can just be busy, then everything is fine. No, it's not productivity. It's holy attentiveness. Take attention. Pay attention to what God is saying to your heart and do it. And you know, temptation comes to all of us, and that's not a sin. The problem is when we get and give into temptation. So you have a chance to see God's presence in your life when temptation comes around, how you can rebuke that temptation, how you can resist it by submitting to God and asking God to give you the help that you need. So it's holy attentiveness, paying attention to what God is doing. So teach us, Lord. Teach us, teachability. Lord, help us to number our days. And the end of it is that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This will be the fruit of a numbered life. You know, if I were to say to you that the goal of your life is to have stress, all of us would be 100%. But the goal of life is wisdom. Not to get stressed out. Not to get stressed out. And it's not merely for the mind, but it's for the heart. It's not information, it's formation. It's how you and I develop this ability to live in the will in God's reality. What is real to God? How life becomes real? When we love, when we confess, when we're not bitter, when we do what is good, when we listen to Him. That's God's reality. That's the way we should be forming our life. That's the wisdom. See, it's not knowing more facts about God, but becoming more like Christ. The question is, how would Christ live my life if he would be me? Wow. Huge question. Not that we're imitating Christ, but Christ lives in us. So how is Christ living in us as we do things? How do we acquire that wisdom? What does wisdom look like once we acquire it? How can I discern if I have numbered my days and I have been taught and I've developed wisdom? Well, one of the things that will happen to you is that you will have the right priorities in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, which means you're looking what God is doing. What is God doing? And then when you find out what God is doing, you're part of that. Seeking God means seeking God, putting him first. Seek ye first him. Before anything else in life, you must ask the question, how is God involved in this? How is God working here? How can I bring God into the presence of my life and have him have a say? Have him work in my life. So right priorities. Put God first in your life. When you get up in the morning, Lord, we say in church, this is the day that the Lord has made. We should do that every single morning when you wake up. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be happy in it. Amen. Putting God first. The right, Lord, guide this life, Lord. So that's the first one. Second, you need to have a peaceful center. I go back to this, and I will always go back to this, because we live in a world that is rushing everything. Rush, 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 rush. I love to be, and I can't stand it. I go back to Law and Order. I'm sorry, that's my show. Because in 1 hour you look at the crime, and the next half hour they go to jail. Period. It ends. But in reality, brothers and sisters, a peaceful center requires our mind being stayed on the Lord, making him a priority. as Isaiah 26:3 says, trust in the Lord forever. Wow. Trust in the Lord forever. A third thing will be gratitude in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5. In all things. What does all mean? Well, what does all leave out? Nothing. No, everything. Your job, your mood, your finances, your everything. Oh, gratitude in all things. I think you probably know I love flowers and gardens and all that. And I've been trying to finish a product, but a couple of 3 weeks ago, I was doing something inept. I thought I was 25 years old, and there was some plywood that needed to be moved, and Joshua was there helping me. Alex was helping me, and we were carrying this big old huge plywood, and there was a gas meter on that side, and I forgot there was a gas meter there because I was not thinking of the gas meter. I was thinking, how can I impress my grandson? Not really. As I was going back, I tripped on it, and I fell backwards. My head bounced. I missed the pipe for about an inch. I had pains for 3 weeks. Even I still have pains here, you know. So anyway, I recovered. I went to the, what's his name? El Suki, who is a chiropractor who we all go to, and he's an incredible man. And, Professor, he calls me that. He says, what are you doing? You're not 16 years old. And he gave me a bowl, you know. He gave me my sermon. I get sermons all the time, so don't worry about it. This is my revenge. And the long story short is that there was this pain, and I needed to finish the work we started, and there were some bricks that I needed to move, and so we went and we picked some bricks with Alex, and we put them in there, but I couldn't set them right. Because my elbow still hurts. It still hurts. So this is a guy that I know in the neighborhood that does gardening. So I call him. I say, can you help me? So he finally came after the rains, and he said it. Oh, so nice. So around the bricks like that and flowers in that, and it's beautiful. And I wake up now. I see that. I said, it's beautiful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that there was a gardener that could do that, so I didn't hurt my heart. It's amazing, brothers and sisters, how we can be thankful for all things. I'm thankful for the plants. I planted a beautiful magnolia tree. Oh, red magnolia tree. It's beautiful. I'm thankful for all those things. You may think I'm crazy, but that's perfectly fine with you. At least I'm not talking about cactuses anyway, so. Being thankful for all things, small things, the big things. Discernment in decision making is another one. Wisdom looks like when you have the right priorities, when you have a peaceful center, when you're grateful for all things, when you make decisions based on wisdom. James 1:5 says, are you in trouble? Are you going through a mess in your life? Then ask God to give you wisdom. Find out what he's asking of you. Find out what needs to be tuned in, you know. Because some of you are in the static side of the radio. Boy, I hope I can be understood. Nowadays, those things don't understand it. But when you don't tune in the radio right, you get static. And that doesn't. I'm sorry, I'm timing myself, but I don't care. All I can tell you, you need to tune in right, to the right station. You need to make decisions based on discernment from God. You are going through something today, then you must ask the Lord to give you the wisdom so that you can understand why you're going through that, and then you make decisions. And then lastly, I would say a life needs to be aligned with eternity's values. 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says that we need to fix our eyes on that which is invisible and not that which is visible that perishes. You need to look at eternity. You look, because see, what you're doing today affects your eternity, affects your relationship with the Lord, not so much, but your reward with the Lord. So this is opposite, brothers and sisters, this morning, to what I alluded at the beginning, that we live a hurried life, a distracted life, a stressed soul. So what wisdom looks like is that, and may I say that when you look at Christ, when you look at his life, you see that we can emulate him, because wisdom is the life of Christ formed in us. Jesus is the embodiment of Psalms 90, verse 12. He lived a perfect life, perfect awareness. He knew, this is what he knew. He knew the Father's timing. So four things. He never rushed. I think it was, they asked Dallas Willard, what was one of the characteristics of Jesus that he would surmise? He says, he was never in a rush. I was in a rush this morning getting to service. How many were in a rush getting here? Well, you made it. There's some who are still in a rush trying to get here. He was never rushed. He knew the Father was in charge. He never rushed. Never delayed. He acted when he needed to act. He was always present. The Lord was always present with him. And the Lord was always loving. So he knew the Father never rushed, never delayed. He was always present. He was always loving. So to gain a heart of wisdom is to learn the pace of Jesus. Read the Gospels, will you? Start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just read it. Enjoy it. It's better than Netflix. Thank you for that. Approval. Tibet approval. So I conclude this morning by saying that there's a prayer that we must all pray every single day. And it's this way. Lord, teach me to live today wisely, intentionally, grateful, and eternally. Teach us to number our days becomes teach us to live in Christ today. May God take this into our hearts, and may we be smart and wise, that God will bring blessings and we will be surprised by him. So, Lord, we thank you this Sunday morning for your presence in our lives. We thank you this morning because you're able to work in our hearts. We thank you this morning, Lord, that we are exhorted to be the kind of people that can have a peaceful center, that can have gratitude in all things, that we can be a people that can discern in making decisions and a life that is aligned with eternity. Father, if there's someone here who doesn't know you personally, Lord, if there's someone here who is not involved in your grace, we pray that this will be the beginning of the adventure of their lives, that from this moment on, eternity will reign in their hearts and your glory will be present in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church, this is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you grace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.